Hi guys, welcome to Time with Tracy, and this is your girl Tracy back again on UMFM 101.5 every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. So let's get into it. Hope you guys are having an amazing week, although it's not starting off that good for U of M students with a strike happening because the AMFA and the university have not been able to reach like an agreement, and we are hoping, obviously we are here to stand with our professors because we know they have put in a lot coming all the way from teaching us through COVID, trying to cope up, trying to ensure that we still get the best of education that we can get. And I feel like they have done their best. I really pray and hope that our professors will get whatever it is that they want. And for students, you know, who want to know more about all this stuff, you can always go to an Instagram page called Student Supporting AMFA. It has so much information. It has everything you might want to know about the strike. We still do not know how long the strike will take because obviously a negotiation has to come to hand. But we're just hoping that our professors can get whatever they want because they have put in the work and they have been there for us as students, and we shall have to see this through, and we are always on their side. So aside from that, I hope you guys are having an okay week. I hope that you're checking in with yourselves, you're checking in with your family, you're checking in with your friends, you know, because mental health is not something that is to be checked on once a month and then leave it for the next month. You have to gradually do it so to get used to it, because the only way you can know something is bad is if you know how it looks like on a daily basis. If you know that I feel good, whenever I feel good, this is what I do. Whenever I do not feel good, this is what I do. This is how I feel. Then you'll be able to recognize how you're feeling or what is going on. So for this week, we are going to be talking about post-traumatic stress disorder, which we all know as PTSD. And one thing, actually, before I go ahead, is that I just want people who don't know, or if you needed any clarification, is that PTSD is not only for veterans, though it's very common in veterans because of what they go through, because of the situations they are put through, which are terrifying situations. But this also happens depending on any terrifying event that you might face. And the events obviously vary depending on what you face, depending on what you have seen. So yeah. PTSD is a mental health condition that is triggered by a terrifying event, by either experiencing it or witnessing it. So you might not be directly in a shooting, but you witnessing a shooting and maybe being, in a way, being related to it, that can still cause you to actually have PTSD. Symptoms may include flashbacks, nightmares, severe anxiety. It can also include panic too. Although I think I've mentioned it before, but panic disorder is obviously different from experiencing panic that could be as a result of a panic disorder. But yes, you could still be experiencing panic. You could also be having vivid or unpleasant memories of the event, kind of seeing it, or sometimes they call it daydreaming, as if reliving the event when you're not even actually in it. You're in your room, you're just seated down, but you feel like you're seeing it again. There could be intense mental or physical distress when you think about the event. That could include like the anxiety I've mentioned and all this stuff. And then there could be, it could also be symptoms in forms of arousal and reactivity. This could be trouble concentrating. You could have outbursts of anger. You could be easily irritated. You will always be feeling on the edge as if something is going to happen. And you're so, I think I've forgotten the word for it, but I think it's called hyperactive or something to do with hyper, but it's more of like you are always on alert. You are always on alert. You're like, what's going to happen? Is something going to happen? Something like that. You're easily startled. So that's what I'm talking about. And then you might have negative thoughts about yourself. You might have distorted feelings of guilt, worry, or blame. You might have trouble remembering important parts of the event, whether you witnessed it or whether you experienced it yourself. You'll also have reduced interest in activities you once loved. And as already mentioned, like, PTSD comes with something terrifying or a threat of like injury or death. This could be like a natural disaster. Even people who are in areas whereby they experience earthquakes, they experience tornadoes, you might find that if something shakes and they're in the place, just because they have experienced it before, it gets so worrying and terrifying for them. Military combat, as I've told you, physical or sexual assault or abuse or even an accident. Or if you're in a mugging or these things, you might fear to go outside because maybe you feel like your home is a safe space and when you went outside, you were attacked or you were mugged. So people with PTSD have a heightened sense of danger, which means that their natural fight or flight response is altered, and this causes them to always feel stressed because in our bodies, the fight or flight response is only supposed to be triggered when there is something. When there's something that is actually there, let me use that language. But when you have PTSD, it means that this fight or flight response is always there. It's never going. If when you're in this state of fight or flight, you're sweating or you're not breathing properly or you're having stomach aches. Now imagine having it so constantly because of the way you're feeling. That's how a person with PTSD will feel, because they won't easily feel like they are safe or they'll feel on edge, as I described. PTSD in the past used to be called shell shock or battle fatigue, because it, as I've talked before, it's very common in war veterans because of the experiences they can go through, or, you know, fighting and the bombs and everything else. One important thing to note about PTSD is that it can happen at any age. It can happen to a teenager. It can happen to a child. It can, because even if you think about bullying, someone might have one experience of bullying and they might fear to go back to school. They might fear to go back to that specific subject, or they might fear hearing about that subject or that kind of stuff. So it can happen to a child. It can happen to an adult. It can happen to an old person. Basically, it can happen to anyone because it occurs as a response to chemical and neural changes in the brain after exposure to these threatening events. And although a person can experience PTSD, I want to emphasize that this doesn't make them, it's not who they are, it doesn't define who you are, it's just what you're experiencing at that moment because of something you have gone through. So another thing I would want to also touch about when it comes to PTSD is the intensity. As I've mentioned, sometimes people have PTSD and the intensity of the symptoms is not that bad. It's still there, but it doesn't endanger them or endanger the people they are with. For example, if someone is married, and it doesn't endanger the family members they are with. But there are some times whereby PTSD symptoms are very intense, and it could include maybe someone can't sleep and they relive the combat experiences, so they might hurt you in their sleep, or someone might feel like you're coming up. Maybe they were attacked by, you know, someone coming up to their back and kind of holding them, and then you might come up to their back, and then maybe they are carrying something sharp and they might end up hurting you because they did not know that it was you, but because the experience or that feeling was relating to how they were feeling when they went through that terrifying experience, they may be inclined, or they may not know that they are going to hurt you, and then next thing they know, they are hurting their friend, their wife, their husband, their family, their brother, their sister. So that's why it's very important to pay attention to PTSD symptoms, because sometimes the intensity can put themselves in danger, or someone that they love, or someone that they care about in danger. When should you see a doctor? I mean, one of the clear cases as to when you should see a doctor when it comes to PTSD is mostly when the symptoms are intense. That's a very good start. That even shows you immediately that that's a sign you should go see someone. And if you're having disturbing thoughts and feelings about the traumatic event for more than 1 month, I mean, it's very normal for you to feel like you don't want to go out after, you know, like if an event or you are mugged, you know, on a Monday and you feel like you don't want to go out on Wednesday or on Thursday or even after a week, that's fine because you're still thinking about it. It's not like it just happened to your life, you know, it's all okay. But most times, usually after a month it's very important for you to go to a doctor, because that means that you have not gotten over it and maybe you need someone else to help you to get over it, which is not a bad thing. We always do need someone to maybe help us, you know, get through a difficult time or get through these difficult thoughts and feelings that you might have. Or if your symptoms become very severe and you're having a hard time getting back to your normal life or getting your life under control. Because I like to give examples, because sometimes when you hear an example, it might help you relate to someone or to yourself or somehow. For example, if someone experienced a mugging, they might be afraid to go out, you know, to go out of the house. But if it reaches a point whereby someone starts to look like they are having agoraphobia because they can't go out because maybe the world is not a safe place, or they can't go out at all, even if it's to shop, even if it's maybe you would think maybe they would fear night times, but even daytime they're fearing, they even don't want to go out when you go with them, then maybe that's a clear sign that maybe they need to talk to someone to kind of work through the experience. Getting treatment as soon as possible can help very, very much. It can help the PTSD symptoms. Some other things when it comes to PTSD is, yes, a person who is experiencing PTSD or symptoms of PTSD can have suicidal thoughts. So if you or someone you know has suicidal thoughts, get help right away through one or more of different resources. You know, you can reach out to a close friend or to a loved one. You can contact a spiritual leader if you are a religious person and you really trust maybe a pastor or your reverend or your shay. You can always reach out to them and they can help you. You can always call a suicide hotline or make an appointment with your doctor. The thing why I'll never get tired of talking about, you know, suicide and talking about how important it is for us to get help, for our friends to get help, for our sisters, brothers, acquaintances, or in general people in the world to get help, is that suicide is such a big thing in mental health, because it comes from different mental health disorders that we talk about. Well, it can come with bipolar, it can come with PTSD, it can come with borderline personality disorder, it can come with depression, it can come with anxiety. Like it's not like it's an isolated event that maybe we shouldn't give it enough attention. That's not true. The fact that suicide is very, very common and it's something that comes with these different mental health disorders, that's what makes it very important. That's why if I have to say it in every episode, I will. If I have to mention how a person can get help if they're having suicidal thoughts, I will definitely mention it, because it's very important and Suicide is one of the leading causes of death, so it's not like it's something to be undermined. So please, you can always reach out, even if you feel like you can't talk to a person that you know. That's why it's very important to know these suicide, you know, health line numbers, because at least you'll still be able to get a view of someone else. Someone is still there for you. And I just want to let anyone know who is having suicidal thoughts, or who has a friend that's, you know, friend, brother, family member that's going through, or who is having suicidal thoughts, that they are not alone, and we are there with them through everything. And always please remember that if you think that you're going to hurt yourself or attempt suicide, or you think your friend is in danger of attempting suicide, always be able to call 911, because yes, it might not initially stop all the suicidal thoughts, but it might help them in that moment. It might help them in that moment where they were thinking about it. Or even if it's you, it might give you a different outlook to life. It might give you some time to kind of think about it. So going back to PTSD, PTSD is also, in a way, it also has its differences. Like, there are PTSD symptoms in women. So according to the American Psychiatric Association, women are twice as likely as men to get PTSD. And sometimes, yes, the symptoms are different, and that's why it's good to always know some differences, although we know the general symptoms, so that we can be able to recognize them when we see them. So for women, they might feel more anxious, or even depressed. They may feel numb with no emotions. They may be easily startled, sensitive to reminders of trauma. Symptoms actually last longer than those of men. On average, women can wait 4 years to see a doctor, while men usually ask for help within 1 year after their symptoms have started. And then when it comes to men, usually have the symptoms of re-experiencing, avoidance, cognitive and arousal concerns. So these symptoms often start within the first month after the traumatic event, but they may take years or even months, even years for the signs to appear. So which means men can be avoiding maybe something that relates to the experience they went to, and or they might be experiencing like suicidal thoughts, because we know this is one of also a big issue when it comes to the men also, although obviously it's a big issue everywhere. And one thing that I want to also note is that yes, it's true, PTSD, just like any other mental health disorder, although there are similarities in symptoms and everything, it can be very different with different people. There are some specific symptoms that can be unique to a person depending on their experience, depending on their the way they grew up, or maybe the community they live in. So these are just outlines for you to kind of see how to have an idea of what to look out for, or so that if you see it, you can be able to take a step and be like, oh, this looks like this. Maybe I should take a deeper look into it. So for PTSD treatment, if you are diagnosed with PTSD, you will obviously have to go through therapy, or medication, or even it could be both of them in case you need both therapy and medication. So one of the best treatments that you'll go through is cognitive behavior therapy, or some people call it talk therapy, because this kind of helps you process the event and helps you understand it in a different light. It doesn't malnourish the event. It doesn't make it look like it's less, like what you're feeling is not valid. It just helps you understand it and to understand the negative thinking patterns that have come with the event, to help you get your life, you know, back to where it was, or at least back to the normal life, so that you can be able to go back to how you used to live. Then in exposure therapy, you'll re-experience events around the trauma. So this could come by maybe if you experienced an event maybe in the pool, maybe you have PTSD because you almost drowned or something like that. This could be exposure to a pool, exposure to being near the pool, maybe if it goes so well, maybe you could even go back to swimming if you're a swimmer, and maybe this event is what made you stop swimming. So that's the good thing about exposure. Then some of the medications that you're given are antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, sleep aids, which will help you, you know, relieve the symptoms of depression and anxiety. Because one big thing with PTSD that I think I forgot to mention is insomnia. It can come with a lot of sleepless nights, because sometimes a person can be afraid to sleep because of that nightmares that might come with it, or someone can be afraid to sleep because they feel like they're in their sleep that could harm themselves or that could harm any of their friends. So for PTSD starts in people who have been through or witnessed a traumatic event, like we have talked about, and these events can actually cause changes to the brain. If that makes, like, your brain might be working in a normal or in the normal way that a brain works, but because of the event occurring, it might change the way the chemicals and the neurons in your brain work. This, so it's also very important to note that it doesn't mean that we are born with it. That's why I keep on saying, you know, PTSD doesn't identify us. It doesn't make us who we are. It's just like the same way a person can have a flu or a person can have a cold or that kind of disease. It's not who you are. It's just that something happened to you and you unfortunately had to go through PTSD. But it's something that can be treated if it's recognized, and if it's even much easier to treat and much, much better for the symptoms to be worked on if you manage to seek help early. One type of PTSD I want to touch on is, before I finish, is postpartum PTSD. Childbirth is normally, as we know, a happy time for people, but for some new moms, it can be a challenging experience. You know, this can come with the different experiences. It could be maybe with the parents maybe you grew up with, or maybe it come with you being a new parent and there's so much going on, so much to your lifestyle that you have to change so many things. And according to a 2018 study, up to 4% of women experience PTSD after the birth of their child. Women who have pregnancy complications or who give birth too early are more likely to get PTSD, because as we know that there are sometimes when a woman is giving birth there are sometimes where it could go smoothly, but there are times whereby it could be a breech baby or different other complications that could go on that could scare you, or that could scare that you in a way, or may die, or your baby, you might lose your baby. So many different things go on with or postpartum PTSD, I would say. So it's actually a thing, and it's always good, you know, when you feel that kind of way, just like any other thing, it's always good to seek professional help. A person is at a higher risk of postpartum PTSD if you have depression or if you're afraid of childbirth. Like, there are women who are afraid of the whole process of childbirth, you know, with all the stories that you might see. Or if, for example, you have some complications already, it make giving birth a hard thing or a hard process. That could also be part of the PTSD. Or you have had a bad experience with a past pregnancy, so that could also make you have postpartum PTSD. Or if you don't have a support network, you know, so many women are single moms. So many people have had to go through pregnancies, supporting themselves, going to work, making sure that they are eating healthy, they have all the nutrients that their babies need all alone. And, you know, giving birth sometimes it does, or raising a child and giving birth in all its fullness takes a village sometimes. So having no support network sometimes can cause postpartum. And as you may know by now that, you know, having PTSD will make it difficult for you to take care of your baby. So in case you know someone who's having these symptoms after the birth of their child, or if you are having symptoms after the birth of your child, please try and seek, you know, some help from a mental health professional, because at least we are hoping that it will help you, you know, it will help you in a way, you know, to get better. So as I show off, I just want to talk about some types of PTSD. It's one condition, but some experts like to break it down because they are, as I said already, sometimes it affects people differently. So there is acute stress disorder, and this is like, it's not PTSD in a way, but it has a cluster of symptoms that kind of align with PTSD, like anxiety, avoidance, that develop within the month. That's why the month is sort of a cutoff point. So after a month, it starts to look like PTSD, so you have to seek professional. Then we have dissociative PTSD, which is when you detach yourself from the trauma and you feel separated from the event, or like you're outside of your own body. And this is usually a way to protect our minds, because most times a person with dissociative PTSD may feel like if they don't have to think about it, if they don't have to always dwell on it, they can move on with their life. So it's also a type of PTSD. Uncomplicated PTSD is when you have PTSD symptoms like re-experiencing the traumatic event and avoiding people, but you don't have any other mental health disorders like depression. I think I've mentioned this before in my episodes before, that, you know, some mental health disorders can come in more, you can have more than one. You might have, let's say, depression and anxiety. You might have bipolar and PTSD, all these things. So uncomplicated is when it comes with only PTSD because of the event specifically only, and nothing else. And obviously this a person who has uncomplicated PTSD, obviously it makes it much easier for them to respond to treatment and to get better much faster. Then there is comorbid PTSD, which involves symptoms of PTSD along with other mental health disorders. So this one includes if a person also has maybe depression, or they have the panic disorder too, or they have substance abuse problems. And people with this type get the best results from treating both the PTSD and the mental health issues. So it's always good to see a professional, because you end up finding out, you know, what type do I have? Am I okay in other areas? Maybe this is only caused by the event. And the only way we can get to know all this is if we seek professional help. Then lastly is complex PTSD. Many of the events that trigger PTSD, like a violent attack or a car accident, happen once, while others like sexual, physical abuse at home, trafficking, all these things could continue for years. So complex PTSD is separate, but it's like a related term to describe the emotional repercussions of continued and long-term trauma. So obviously this is, as you may realize from now on, this is a bit very harder to treat because of the continuous and long-term effects of the trauma, that it could be multiple traumas that are possible. So I hope this helps, you know, all of us to kind of find a way, you know, with what it means for a person to have PTSD. And after all this talking, you know, I've talked about how we can treat ourselves and all these things, how we can help ourselves. I just want to talk about how we can help someone cope with PTSD, or how us ourselves, we can cope with PTSD. Try to eat a balanced diet. Try to get enough rest, or try to exercise. Avoid anything that makes your stress or anxiety worse. Obviously, that's not easy with the world, but just try to help yourself feel better. Even if you need like group, you know, support groups, yes, go for support groups. Or if your friend needs you, to go for support groups. So many times we wonder how we can, you know, support our friends. You could support your friend by maybe finding them different support groups, you know, for PTSD. And you're like, you know, I found these different ones. They happen on this day. And I was thinking maybe if you're okay with it, you could try out, and maybe you might find one that you might actually be interested in. You know, being there for someone, to emphasize that being supportive is more than enough for us as humans, because us as humans, the one thing that we don't want to feel alone, and we want someone to be there with us. So with that, I hope we've gotten to learn a bit of PTSD. I could know about this for a long time, but I hope this can help us support our community, our family, our friends, acquaintances through PTSD, and help give us knowledge to fight the stigma around any mental health disorders. Thank you guys, and this was Tracy. Thank you for spending your time with Tracy, and have a good week.